Happy Sabbath, family of God. Oh, that's too weak for graduation. Happy Sabbath, family of God. Oh, that sounds a little better. Praise God. I want to first say thank you to a friend, a brother in ministry, Dr. John Wesley Taylor, the seventh president of this mighty institution, this sacred institution. Thank you for allowing me to stand in this sacred desk. I want to say a word of appreciation to the pastor of this church as well. I truly appreciate Pastor Anderson and his team and the kindness that they have extended to me. I also want to just brag on this amazing staff all around, the people who know what they're doing. And it makes me feel good. And I just want to thank God for all that is happening here. This lighthouse sends out great light into the world. And I want to also say a word of appreciation to this class, the 150th class, anniversary class of this mighty institution. You all are not normal. You are special. And special people need special messages from the Lord. That's what I believe. I believe you're special. You're no ordinary people. And is there anyone here who claims a graduate in this class? You know, money flowed from your account over to this school because of them. If you love somebody in this class and you thank God that they're down here today, would you put your hands together one more time for this magnificent, this illustrious, this august class of 2024. I remember when I looked as good as they do. Been a long time. But they look great. You look wonderful. And you are God's gift to the world. Well, I am confident that there will be death by tassel today if I don't take this thing off. Would you allow me to unveil my head in the Lord's house? I want to tell you that somebody told me, keep it brief, because no one will remember what you say anyway, Dwayne. And I felt some kind of way when they said that to me. I felt a little, you know, perturbed by that. And then I thought to myself, they must not know the Word of God. They must not know that the Word has a way of burrowing itself down into us and is unforgettable. I aim not to tickle your ears today, class of 24. I don't want to come with any feel-good foolery. I'm not here just to talk to you. I'm really here to preach my last sermon. I'm not planning on dying. Don't worry, I'm not planning on dying. But if I had one message that I could preach to a graduating class, if it was the last thing I could say, this would be the thing I'd say. I tell you, it's graduation day. That's what I tell you. The book is Matthew, and the chapter is 10, read so ably by our esteemed registrar, Sister Amy. Thank you so much. The Bible says that in verse 1, when he called them, those 12 to him, he gave them power over unclean spirits and power to cast them out, to heal all kinds of disease and sickness. Skip on down to verse 5. The Bible says, these 12 Jesus sent out and commanded them, saying, do not go into the way of the Gentiles. Don't go to the Samaritans. But go, rather, class of 24, to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach. Preach, saying that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And then heal the sick. Cleanse the lepers. Raise the dead. Cast out demons. Freely you have received. Give what you got from God. Graduation day. Father God, speak to your children. Speak to your people. And take all credit. In Jesus' name, amen. It wasn't long after graduation, beloved, that's back in the Stone Age when I graduated, that I discovered that life before graduation is different than life after graduation. Pre-graduation life is different than post. graduation life, pre-graduation, late nights, early mornings, hard work, 4 years, maybe five, and in sight. Post-graduation, late nights, early mornings, hard work till I die, no end in sight. Pre-graduation, Taco Bell, Nacho Bel Grande, no meat. Post-graduation, Cheesecake Factory. Factory burrito sin carne. Pre-graduation, son, it's so nice to have you home. Just sleep in. Breakfast is on the table. Post-graduation, son, is that all you doing today? When you get up, make something for yourself. Pre-graduation, spring break. Post-graduation, what is spring break? Pre-graduation, honey, I'll cover that ticket. You just keep on studying. Post-graduation, you know I'm not paying for that ticket. I have discovered that life pre-graduation is different than life post-graduation. It's a true story. Commencement happened on a Sunday, Karen, my sister. Commencement happened on a Sunday at Oakwood University College when I graduated back in the Stone Age. And my brand new fiance and I packed our little rental Hyundai Elantra with everything we owned. Yes, it all could fit in that little car. We were taking the 14-hour drive to my home from Huntsville, Alabama. And I got on that highway and something, I would like to call it mobile graduation exuberance, got down in my right foot. And beloved, I was pressing that accelerator in Virginia, and the man clocked me doing 95 miles an hour in a 65 mile an hour zone. Police officer stopped me, and I explained to him that it was just mobile graduation exuberance, that I had just graduated and I was trying to get home. He called it speeding, and he gave me a ticket, and I discovered that tickets pre-graduation are different than tickets post-graduation, especially when you get them in states you don't live in and don't pay them on time. I ain't gonna go no further with that. On one very special day, beloved, in winter of AD 29, the Bible tells us of 12 men who are about to graduate. And life pre-graduation for them is not going to be like life post-graduation. They would receive no festooned academic regalia. No expensive parchment would immortalize their names with calligraphic flair. No choirs would sing, and no family would be in attendance. And only the professor, the one they had known, he would be the only one to officiate at this sacred ceremony. This would be no ordinary graduation. By the time we reach this ceremony in Matthew chapter 10, most of the disciples were veterans of at least two missionary journeys with Jesus. Peter, his brother Andrew, and James and John are mentioned in Mark chapter 1 at the launch of Jesus' first missionary journey in the summer of AD 29. You may remember that scene. Jesus is reclining now. He's at Peter's house trying to relax, and Peter's mother-in-law is ill. And the Bible says that Jesus heals her, and promptly she rises up and begins to minister and serve the disciples, because healed people serve people. What a blessing it is to know that people who work in the cause of Jesus are not put away from the power of Jesus. That people who serve Jesus, that Jesus will eventually get to your house if something is broken in your house. That people who hitch their wagon to Jesus and serve him faithfully, that though they might have loved ones with cancer, and though marriages may be in trouble and children may not be saved, sooner or later the God of the universe is coming to your house. The Bible says he gets there. Some things he will fix this side of heaven, John, and some things he'll fix on the other side. But to those who love him, he always fixes things. Bible says that he fixed that lady and she served. Mark chapter 1 verses 32 to 34 tells us that on the Sabbath day at sunset now at Peter's house, the townspeople brought to him all who were sick and demon-possessed. Ellen White masterfully paints the picture now, Desire of Ages, page 259, hour after hour. They came and went, for none could know where tomorrow would find the healer still among them. Never before had Capernaum witnessed a day like this. The air was filled with shouts of triumph and deliverance. The Savior was joyful in the joy he had awakened. Jesus gets happy because people are being fixed. Jesus is happy now as he witnesses the sufferings of those who had come to him. His heart is stirred with sympathy, and he rejoices in the exercise of his power. And Ellen White writes here that not until the last sufferer had been relieved did Jesus stop. Way into the night, Jesus is still going. I don't know if you can picture the scene. The mute speak and the blind see and the paralyzed walk, class of 24. The deaf hear and the possessed are set free. The EOS of the universe, the equal opportunity savior of the universe, is at work now. Love's got life now, and hope has hands now, and faith has a face now, and triumph has a touch now. Shouts of praise cut through the inky blackness of the Capernaum night. Families embrace their healed loved ones. Friends hug each other. Children, their eyes big as saucers, watching Jesus work. What a lesson it is to us. Jesus does not stop ministering until way into the night. Next day, the word spreads. They come to him again. A whole crowd is assembled once again, but they can't find him. Mark chapter 1 and verse 35 says he leaves them now and goes a great while before day into a solitary place to pray. And he's teaching now prayer 101. That you've got to come aside and spend some time with God. That you can't afford to always be in the crowd. Watch this now. Listen to me, beloved. I'm about to tell you something because a lot of people are saying very nice things about you, class of 94, right now. 24 right now. Listen to this. Here's the thing. Jesus would not allow the purposes of God to be endangered by the praise of people. I'm going to say it again. Jesus did not allow popularity to submerge the objectives of his ministry. So he prayed more on days like today than on days when he was in pain and suffering. Success sometimes is more dangerous than stress. Triumph is sometimes more dangerous than trial. Pain is dangerous enough, but praise might be more dangerous. Jesus pulls aside and he says, no. I'm not going to allow the clamor and the praise to stop me from doing what I'm doing. I'd rather go with my Father. When Peter and the other disciples finally find him, the Bible says the master, they say to him, Master, everybody is looking for you. Jesus' response, beloved, is a study in purpose-driven decision-making. He says to them, let us go into the next towns that I may preach there also, because for this purpose I came forth. Verse 38. In this moment, Jesus launches his people, his freshman class at Emmanuel Missionary College. He launches them now into their first missionary journey. He's going to teach classes like Kingdom Preaching 101 and Healing Ministry 205 and Demonic Deliverance 295. The disciples now observe the master teacher at work as he preaches the kingdom of God throughout the synagogues of Galilee, heals all kinds of diseases, and masters demonic forces. What an education they are receiving. What kind of education did you get here? What did they teach you here? As sophomores and juniors now, the disciples had learned well the work of their master during their freshman year. We see them in Matthew chapter 9 and verse 35, the launch of the second missionary journey. Josephus, the great historian, notes that it was virtually impossible for any one person to minister to all of Galilee in an area that comprised some 200 plus towns and villages. Yet Jesus is undaunted by the odds. How is he undaunted? Why is Jesus not bothered by the fact that he's got all this area of ministry and not enough people? Why? Because he's about to multiply himself. Jesus is about to 12x his ministry. Jesus knows that in a little while, I've got a class coming. It's graduation day. In Matthew chapter 9, they watch him forgive and heal a paralytic let down by his friends into the presence of Jesus. Healing 209. That's the class he taught that day. They saw multitudes marvel. Friends ought to bring friends to Jesus. Amen? They listened as he called a crooked IRS agent and made him a disciple. They saw how he ate with publicans and sinners and heard him shut up the Pharisees' mouth with, "I did not come to call the righteous. I came to call sinners to repentance." That's Whosoever Ministry 368. They heard him lecture on the question of fasting. That's Patches and Wineskins 392. That's where he taught that class. They heard the ruler who came in tears and said, "My daughter is dying. Come to my house and put your hands on her, Jesus." And they marveled that Jesus would drop everything and go to the man's house. A rich, powerful man that they looked down their nose on. Jesus went to his house. In that moment, he was teaching Resurrection 362. They were there when the woman with the 12-year bleeding problem touched the hem of his garment. They were there as she pulled virtue. I want to tell you, class of 24, faith can pull things out of Jesus. Faith can pull hope out of Jesus. It can pull love out of Jesus. It can pull healing out of Jesus. They were there when she pulled virtue out of him. Bible says, he was teaching in that moment, touch of faith, 331. That's what I call it. They saw the two blind men that came to see him, faith and healing, 395. They were there present when they brought him a man, the Bible says, who was mute and demon-possessed. Not only could he speak, but if he could speak, you wouldn't want to hear what he had to say. Bible says he was mute and demon-possessed. That's spiritual double jeopardy, 461. That's the class Jesus was teaching that day. It was never seen like this. When Jesus healed him, the people said, "We have never seen anything like this before." Lord have mercy. It was after healing 209 and Whosoever Ministry 368 and Patches and Wineskins 392 and Resurrection 362, that touch of faith 331 and faith and healing, after all these classes, the Bible says in Matthew chapter 9 and verse 35, he started the second missionary journey. He takes them up now, picks up these disciples and says to them that I'm going to go now to the cities and the villages, teach in their synagogues. I'm going to preach the gospel again. I'm going to heal sickness and disease again. I'm going to touch people again. Verse 36 of Matthew chapter 9 says, but when he saw the multitudes, when he saw the brokenness of the people, when he saw how many people it was, he was moved with compassion for them because they were weary and scattered, the Bible says, like sheep having no shepherd. Jesus then turns to that class, the class of AD 29 at Emmanuel Missionary College, and he says to them, pray the Lord of the harvest that he might graduate more classes that want to serve. Pray the Lord of the harvest. Jesus is moved with compassion now. He's teaching reapers wanted 500. Moved with compassion, Jesus urges his soon-to-be charges that they must be ready to serve in ministry. Pray the Lord of the harvest. If only there were more classes that felt the tug of ministry, no matter their discipline. If there were more classes that loved people more than money and salvation more than savings and healing more than houses and souls more than cars. If there were more graduates who loved their Bibles more than Netflix. If there were more graduates that prayed for people instead of praying on people. If there were more graduates that loved like me, that graduated from Emmanuel Missionary College, class of AD 29, pray the Lord of the harvest that he will graduate more into his vineyard. Jesus in this moment makes it very clear to his disciples that he is absolutely committed to the salvation of men and women. By the time we get to the winter of AD 29, beloved, Matthew chapter 10, graduation day has arrived. In a period of but a few months, Jesus had so thoroughly educated his disciples in the finer points of ministry that he was prepared to do something absolutely nuts. Ellen White writes, the apostles were members of the family of Jesus. And they were accompanied, chapter 37 of Desire of Ages, the first evangelist. She writes that they accompanied him as he traveled on foot through Galilee. They had shared with him their toils and their hardships. He taught them. They helped him in ministry. As Jesus ministered to vast multitudes, they gathered about him. His disciples were in attendance. They assisted in arranging the people and bringing the afflicted and promoting the comfort of all. They were helping Jesus in ministry. But then Ellen White says this. She says, but they needed also an experience in laboring alone. I'm here to tell you today, class of 24, you got to get out of here. It's been good. It's been nice. It's been great. But it's really time for you to go. Jesus was saying to them, in effect, it's been nice being with me, but there's some things you can only learn post-graduation. There's some things pre-graduation that you will never learn until you leave. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 1, when he called them, he gave them their diploma. The Bible says he gave them power. That's the diploma. He gave them power. And then he says in verse 5, don't go to the Gentiles and the Samaritans. Go to folk you know. Go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And then the Bible says, Jesus says to them, as you go, preach the good news of the kingdom of God. Heal the sick and cleanse the lepers and raise the dead and cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. If it was a diploma like today, I think it would say something like this. Emmanuel Missionary College, by virtue of the authority granted by God, ruler of heaven and earth, and on the recommendation of Jesus Christ, Savior of the world, has conferred upon Doubting Thomas, who has satisfactorily completed studies prescribed, the degree of world changer, with all power to cure diseases, power to heal all sicknesses, power to cast out all demons, power to raise the dead, power to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thomas, Doubting Thomas, is a graduate. Pre-graduation, you listen to Jesus preach. Post-graduation, you preach. Pre-graduation, you learned of the power. Post-graduation, you learn how to use the power. Pre-graduation, you arranged and organized people. Post-graduation, you serve and minister to people. Pre-graduation, you brought the afflicted to Jesus. Post-graduation, they bring the afflicted to you. Pre-graduation, you explain the scriptures. Post-graduation, you expound the scriptures. Pre-graduation, you watched for interested hearers. Post-graduation, interested hearers watch for you. Pre-graduation, you observe the power. Post-graduation, you exercise power. Pre-graduation, you help broken people. Post-graduation, you fix broken people. Something ought to be different. Pre and post. Graduation. There ought to be something that accompanies your degree. There ought to be some power, class of 24. You should be able to speak life to people. You should be able to put your hands on the sick. I want you to know you're getting a diploma that's more than the one that you got. I'm telling you right now that God is calling you up higher. That God is calling you to something better. That God has equipped you, graduates today, to change the world. Three quick points and then I'm going to stop. Number one, the first thing this narrative tells us is that Jesus shows them before he sends them. He showed them before he sent them. For two missionary journeys, they slept with him and they ate with him and they watched how he folded his clothes and they watched how he took care of himself and they watched his patience with children. They watched how he experienced his compassion with the lost and they witnessed his miracles and they saw him go to church on Sabbath. They witnessed the depth of his prayer life, the absolute surrender to the Father's will. Ellen White calls it the advantage. Desire of Ages, page 250. She says he gave them the advantage of association with himself. You didn't hear what I just said. Jesus said, I've got an advantage for you when you leave. When you graduate and leave, I got an advantage. You know what your advantage is? You have been with me. And if you have been with me, nothing shall be impossible to you. He gave them the advantage of association with himself. I know what it is when he shows you before he sends you. My senior year of college, I ran out of money. That's a bad thing when you're president of the senior class. Because they will not, I don't care who you are, you not marching if that bill is not paid. Beloved of God, I was coming down to graduation. I learned some things about Jesus in that moment. One of my deans, I was dean in one of I was an RA in one of the dorms. The dean put me in a room and he said, Tlon, don't even worry about paying, just stay in this room. And I saw Jesus. Then my professors, the one who knew me around school, started bringing me food every day. I'm talking about professors who teach more than just classes. I'm talking about people who love you beyond just what they put in your head. They fed me until I could get back into school. And when I got back into school, beloved, got all the way to graduation weekend with, you know, some money on my bill. That Friday, I go down to the administrative office to see what's what and see what's going to happen with my thing. And they say, Mr. Resman, everything is paid. Oh, y'all don't hear me today. Y'all are the people that everybody paid everything for. I know. You sailed on through. I wasn't one of those. Let me tell you, they said everything is paid. Unbeknownst, I didn't find out this until years later. One of my classmates started calling around and got a scholarship and paid my bill and didn't even tell me. Oh, beloved of God, what class of 24 have you learned from Jesus while you have been here? Has he showed you himself? He wants to show you before he sends you. He showed them himself before he sent them. Number two, he empowered them before he converted them. Y'all don't hear me today. I said he empowered them. He gave them authority and he gave them power before they were converted. Now, I don't know about you, I'm not in the habit of giving dynamite to children. But this power, this authority over the power, Jesus gives them before they are finished. Look at the EMC yearbook from that year. Let me see if I can get it. EMC yearbook, James and John, most likely to call down fire from heaven and burn up your city if you don't accept Jesus right. Peter's in the yearbook, most likely to catch hoof and mouth disease. Matthew's in the yearbook, most likely to cheat on his taxes in the future. Judas, Lord have mercy. Oh, y'all don't hear me today. I said Judas is in the yearbook, most likely to steal from the treasury and sell you down the river for 30 pieces of silver. That's Judas. Thomas is in here. Thomas doesn't believe nothing. Most likely to doubt your very existence. He's in the yearbook. All of them were unfinished specimens and of human frailty. All had blind spots. All had weaknesses. All of them still marched in AD 29 and got the diploma. All of them. I want you to know today, beloved, that you might not be perfect, class of 24, but I want you to know God's still giving you power. Amen. That you might not be fully converted, but he who has begun a good work in you is going to get it done before the day of Jesus Christ. I want you to know that you, 24, are complete in him. That if you simply surrender to Jesus what you have today, he will finish what he started with you, and you will have his power. Power of God resting upon broken people. You don't have to be converted to be empowered. All you have to do is be willing. Not only did Jesus show them before he sent them, not only did he empower them before he converted them, but my final point today, I'm almost done. He instructed them before he released them. He instructed them before he released them. Listen, go two by two. Don't go by yourself. Go two by two. Take somebody with you. Take no rations. You don't need nothing. Everything you need will be provided. The very people you minister to, those people are going to take care of everything you need. And if you get rejected, class of 24, dust off your feet and keep in the will of God. Continue in the mission of God. Don't let anybody stop you from doing what God has called you to do. He instructed them before he released them. After he gave them power, the Bible says he told them one other thing. He said, go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. I don't want y'all going everywhere. Don't go running around Samaria and messing with the Samaritans. Y'all don't know how to reach Gentiles yet. Go to some people you know. Class of 24, I came to tell you today, God has equipped you to change this world. God has equipped you to bless this world, to touch communities and touch cities and bring about change. You are equipped to make change. You are world changers because the Spirit of God is on you. You are world changers because the power of God is in you. Emmanuel Missionary College is now Andrews University. It's named after the man Ellen White called our most ablest servant. It's even got a great slogan, world changer. Made here. I know everybody's excited and you've got a degree that confers upon you rights and privileges and honors, and it's good, but I want you to get the other diploma. Yes, yes, yes. I want you to get the one Jesus gives. Yes, yes. I want you to get the one that empowers you to transform the planet. That when you walk into the place, the atmosphere changes. Yes. I want you to get the one that you can put your hand on somebody and God's power courses through you and heals them. I want the one that changes your job and changes that hospital and changes your children. Yes. Yes. Oh, I hope you graduate. I hope you graduate because it's graduation day. I pray God's power upon you to preach the good news of the kingdom of God. I pray God's power to heal the sick of all disease and cast out demons. I pray power to change the world like these 12 in AD 29. But beloved, don't just take it to the world. Is it okay if you take it to the lost sheep of the house of Seventh-day Adventism? I know a church for you is pretty much virtual, but I dare you to keep your church analog. I think you ought to follow the example of Jesus 24 and go to church. I think, beloved, that you ought to give to causes, but you ought to also return a faithful tithe and offering. Is it okay to just go to the house of the Seventh-day Adventist church? It was systematic benevolence, beloved, that built this platform on which we all stand. Love the lost and show compassion to those who are struggling with identity issues. Encourage the downcast and the brokenhearted, but never lower God's standard to appease the lost. Call them up higher. Love them and call them higher. But never reinterpret God's word to appease sin. Go to the lost sheep of the house of this Seventh-day Adventist church. We need you. You're the best that we have. Tell them that there's healing for our sorrows and healing for our pain and healing for our spirit and shelter from the rain. Tell them that God is going to send a healing for this. We know there is a balm yet in Gilead that can heal sin-sick souls. It's graduation day, class. It's time for you to leave this place. God has great work for you, so I'm hoping that you will graduate. He'll show you before he sends you. He'll empower you even as he's converting you. He'll instruct you before he releases you. I hope you graduate into the will of God. I hope you graduate into the way of God. I hope you graduate into the work of God. It's graduation day, class of 24. Congratulations.